Hello, everyone out there in podcast land. This is the Front Row Network, the podcast for people who actually like movies and music. We have a very special interview we are so excited to bring you today. I am your host, Craig. I'm joined today by my brother, Scott McFarland. How are you, Scott?
I am that speck that's thrown up on that map.
That's right. You know, I've got to say, I am so excited for the interview that we were just able to have with Chris DeMakes of Less Than Jake. Just a bit of a story here. Less Than Jake was one of those first bands that you introduced me to when I was probably in middle school or high school. We went to so many of their shows. I want to say, in my memory, they had to have been the first actual band that I went to go see. I mean, I'm sure our parents had taken us to I think we went to like Donny Osmond or something with mom and dad, but like Less Than Jake was like the first band that I saw. And I've loved them throughout. It's such a dream to be able to talk to Chris today. It was so great.
And they almost got us killed. Remember the Des Moines trip?
Yeah, they really did. We tried to drive back in some snow, and this was the first of two times that Scott almost killed me driving in snow. I can tell you the other story some other time. It dealt with a presidential candidate in 2008, but driving home from that Des Moines show, the state troopers had to get involved to get us to a hotel. Like, it was nuts, but we loved that show. We were so amped up about it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, no, for those of the many people who have never heard of Less Than Jake before, go out and check them out after you've listened to this interview, because they're an amazing band that, even though they've been around for almost 30 years now, and they continue to kind of reinvigorate themselves, but they're not one of those bands that's going to reinvent themselves. What you hear is what you get. They're going to be the same alt ska band that they have been for 30 years, and they are amazing. And so it was exciting and fun to get a chance to chat.
And I should mention, because we are posting this on NPR, of course, that it is a bit explicit. So when you're listening to Chris, it does get a little bit explicit. So if you have kids in the car, whatnot, just be warned of that as you're listening here. But they have a new album that dropped the same day as the interview that we got to talk to Chris on album release day, which is really exciting. That album's called Silver Linings, out by Less Than Jake. It's their first studio album, full-length album in 7 years. Also, Chris does his own podcast. We'll talk a bit about that. Also, his solo work. This guy never stops working, and he's also just such a wonderful person to his fans, and that really comes across in the interview, and we just had a great time. So without any further ado, we're going to bring you Chris DeMakes from Less Than Jake, and we'll see you on the other side. Welcome to the Front Row Network, an NPR Illinois Community Voices podcast. Chris DeMakes from Less Than Jake. How are you, Chris?
I am great. How are you guys?
I'm doing really well. And congratulations, you have your album that was released today, the day that we're talking to you, Silver Linings. Everybody should go out there and check this out. It is wonderful to hear Less Than Jake again and get that feeling of having Less Than Jake in our lives. And this is a wonderful album. So I'm going to go straight to the question. Scott has our first question.
Well, you know, I'm older than Craig, and so I've been listening to you guys since the mid-90s, and so I have to first give out a shout-out to good old Alan Black, who, after we left a Boy Scout meeting back in 1997, stuck me in his truck, and we listened to Losing Streak. So that's how long I've been listening to you guys. So I appreciate the time to chat with you, Chris. So you guys have been around for, and I'm going to date you a little bit here, 28 years now, and when many of your peers are kind of, you know, coming and going, what has made you guys stick around so long? I mean, why have you been able to continue on?
We took out too big of mortgages in the 90s. we're going to be working until we can't get on stage. To be honest with you, we never stopped touring. You know, we never went away. A lot of bands, maybe they broke up or had a couple member changes and maybe stopped touring for a while or gasp, got real jobs. And people did. They wanted to just not do the music thing for a while. We just kept trudging along. You know, we never stopped. And I think that we kept engaging with fans long before social media. And as social media has taken over, we're continuing to engage and keep them interested in the band and nurturing those people that like the band, you know? So I think that, I think we're one of the better bands at doing that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say our music's better than the next band, but I do think that we engage probably out of all the bands, we're up there, you know, and I think that's what's a big reason for our longevity.
Could get the word. You know, one of the really fun stories that I had was Scott brought me to one of the shows that I got to see first, and we saw you guys live so many times, but I think it was during the opener, I saw Roger in one of the mosh pits. And I mean, like that, you know, that just gives you a sense of, like you said, that interconnectivity with your fans. But, you know, one thing that's also really iconic about your band is your home in Gainesville, Florida. And so when I think about Gainesville, I actually think about Less Than Jake before I even think of University of Florida. What is it about that hometown of yours that gives you so much pride? You seem to incorporate it into a lot of your music.
It's the most different place in Florida. You know, it's this very open-minded, you know, just for lack of a better word, liberal college town stuck in the middle of North Florida, which, you know, you go 10 miles anyway outside of Gainesville and you're in the middle of good old boy network. I mean, it's North Florida, it's blue collar, very country. So it's a very strange place in that aspect that just all of a sudden, boom, you embark on this place. And yeah, there's people represented from over 100 countries that go to University of Florida. There's always an influx of new musicians every semester that are coming in. It's a constant turnover of people. There's constant excitement, the arts, the entertainment, the music. There's always something going on. There's just this, it's this little bubble in the middle of nowhere, you know? And it's just a place that we were able to start this band, and we have a lot of pride of being known for being from Gainesville.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it in so many of your videos and so many of your songs, and it's just great to have that kind of representation, and it like really puts you on the map. I know exactly where you are, which is really awesome to be able to go along with that. Scott, you got our next question.
Yeah, so we got Silver Linings that dropped today, and you guys have been steadily feeding us some singles through the past couple months, which has been great. But this is your first full-length album in 7 years, and I know you guys in past interviews have said that, you know, the full-length album isn't really something that you always kind of turn to. So my question is, why'd you decide to go back to the full-length album for this one?
Well, I think it was a couple of things. You know, we had made the last full-length in 2013, and we had every intention of doing more music after that. And just, you know, like I said, we never stopped touring. You know, we're still out there, not maybe as much as we were in our 20s or even early 30s, but we're still out there. We rival a lot of younger bands, and as much as we tour, not to mention a lot of us have families now, children, which that takes up a whole other bit of time. So, you know, not to make excuses, we've just been busy in those 4 years. So 2017 came around and we released a 7-song album. People call it an EP, but I mean, it was close to an album. It was called Sound the Alarm. We put that record out in 2017. That was our first record with Pure Noise. And so we did that record and we toured behind that for about a year and a half. And then, you know, our old drummer, Vinny, who was a founding member, Vinny left in August of 2018. So now we were, you know, and at that point we were talking about making a new record that probably would have come out in 2019. But one thing led to another. We got Matt Yonker in the band, who's been with Less Than Jake for about 20 years. He's done everything from sell t-shirts to mix our live sound. And he's an amazing drummer. He used to play with the Teen Idols, who were amazing punk band. We used to tour with those guys. And so Matt took over and, you know, we recorded this record in November of 2019, Silver Linings with Matt. And it's just now coming out this year. As we all know, it's been a little strange and we had some false starts. We were hoping to get the record out in April, and Pure Noise, our label, was like, well, let's get it out when you can go back on the road. Of course, that's when you want to put an album out, when you can go out and promote right. it. And finally, we were just kind of like, no, we got to release this thing this year. Our fans have been waiting long enough, and here it is. So I think now we're kind of in the mode of, especially how excited we were to do this album. And the response has been just over the top from people. I think we could have put the same record out in 2014 or 15, and it wouldn't have been what it is now. It just seems like we're in another cycle where our fans are now a little older and their kids are kind of grown up. Yeah, their kids are a little more grown up. They're not in diapers and they have time to revisit some of their hobbies or some of their likes. And man, we're seeing just this uphill climb again for the band. I'm sure it'll do this again, but that's what you have to hold on for, right?
Yeah, you know, you read our minds in terms of questions we were going to ask, because we were going to ask a question about Matt Yonker and kind of how that changes things. Is there was there a difference in the writing or the recording experience with him or the songwriting experience for this album?
Well, you know, I always give the example. Certainly. Anytime you replace anybody in anything, it's like a sports team. It's like, you know, like a TV show. You know, how many times have they gotten a better looking actor or actress on a TV show to replace one of the founding lead roles, and that beautiful or handsome man can't recreate what the original person did, you know? So sometimes players are just phenomenal. They come in, you know, it's hard. It's hard to replace somebody that's been there for 28 years. I mean, Vinny is my high school friend. We started this band when we were kids. But it was about as seamless as it could be with Matt. Like I said, he'd been with us for like 20 years and he brought a great energy to the album. He is comes from more of a rock background. So he's definitely a punk rocker, but he's got like this rock feel and groove to him that I really feel is apparent on the record. It comes across.
Yeah, you know, this album, I have to commend you. It's excellent. I have just been listening to it nonstop for at least the last week, and it immediately puts me in that same headspace, that great headspace that your music gets me to. And so thank you for that. But I wanted to know, is there any stories about particular songs? Do you have favorites that you wanted to share? I got to tell you, my favorite is Keep On Chasing. I love that song. And you on vocals, it's just great. But do you have any stories about the songwriting experience you want to share, or any songs in particular?
Well, you know, that one, Keep On Chasing, it's funny. It's the riff reminds me of like Def Leppard meets the Descendants. That was kind of the vibe I was going for. It's very 80s. That song was written. I wrote that one in June of 2019. I demoed it, and it went through some lyrical changes. The guys helped me with the chorus on that. I didn't have all the chorus done, but the rest of the lyrics were pretty much pulled from an old notebook that I had, and they kind of jumped off the page and like they worked perfectly with this track I had written. So I really like that song a lot. I love Dear Me. It's a song our sax player JR wrote. It's great. The melody's great. He wrote that song top to bottom, the whole thing. Roger wrote King of the Downside as one of his tracks. I really like that album. That's really standing out with people. The last song we wrote, the whole record was done. And I came into the studio we were wrapping up one night, and I said, guys, I just feel like we have another song in us. And like, well, they're like, what are you talking about? And like, we've been in the habit, like we don't like break down our drums or break down anything. We leave everything up for those just in case moments. And we rarely, if ever, had them. I said, I just feel like we have this song. And I had this melody in my voice memos in my phone. I had it in there for like a year, and I was on a plane somewhere and I hummed this, and it was, and it ended up being High Cost of Low Living, the first song on the record. So the song that we wrote that song in 5 minutes, like the music, Roger and I, I'm like, I got this idea. And we figured out what chords and 5 minutes. And then we sat around, the five of us, we've never done this before as a band. And we sat around and we wrote the lyrics like the next night. And we knew what we wanted it to be about. We wanted it to be just a song kind of, could be about anywhere, but particularly in Gainesville, we name drop a lot of Gainesville establishments. And it's just about those people, we've all been there, where you see them just work their ass off all week. And then they just go, you see them just buying shots and rounds. And then, you know, by Sunday night, you know, at 1 a.m, they're going, oh shit, tomorrow's Monday. I can't pay the bills. I got to go back to work. So ended up being the first track on the record. So that one's standing out for me too right now.
Awesome. You know, and as you mentioned, you guys never stop. So while you've been kind of cooped up with all of us, you put out the Lost at Home sessions, and you kind of coined that as an experiment. And I was just curious to see how that experiment went. Did you, how did you all put it together when you're not in the same room together? And then how do you feel it went?
Yeah, so it really, Roger wrote the first tune, just like Andy. I wrote the second one, Spirit of 20, and JR wrote the third one, Sit Around. So all of us, Roger's demo, he just sent everybody, and we kind of learned our parts. And Matt, our drummer, has his own studio. So he tracked his drum parts. Then he sent that to Roger. Roger played bass. And so it just kind of all went around. We all laid our parts down on it. It was all done from our home studios. So that's really, yeah, as far as being an experiment, it was, we had never done a record like that. We've done demos like that before, but we never said, hey, we're going to do these from our own home studios and then we're going to get someone to mix it together and see what it came out like. And it was a really cool holdover. I mean, I think if we would have had Silver Linings come out, we would have probably be 10 songs deep right now or 12 songs deep with that project. And we would have released it as a record. And it would have been more like, I don't want to say a B-sides record, but it would have been more like a compilation record than our next statement of a full length. But just so happened, it started getting into like August or July or August in our label. And they had every right to go, yeah, I don't know if you should be releasing these new songs. This album's going to come out, which at that point we thought, September, October, and here we are. So we kind of put the brakes on that, but I think we're going to probably do more of that in the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Borders and Boundaries was basically the soundtrack of my high school years. And I just wanted to ask, do you have a favorite album of yours, or is it like picking children? You just can't decide. Is there one that like you're kind of drawn to more frequently than some of the others?
I think that I'm proud of them for nostalgic reasons, much like people love a song we recorded 25 years ago. You know, All My Best Friends Are Metalheads. That hits them a certain way because they have 25 years of memories attached to those songs. I always talk about that on my podcast that I do. You know, no matter how great a song is you write today, it doesn't have 25 years. And when I say memories of 20 years, when we do meet and greets and you have people come up and like, man, we played All My Best Friends Are Metalheads at our prom. And I'm looking at these people and like, they're not young. So this is going back 20 years ago. And they're like recounting these memories. Or I met my girlfriend in college and our favorite album was Borders and Boundaries, you know? So for me to go back, you know, people have to understand that musicians, most of us, don't go back and listen to our work. I always equate it to, it'd be like, you drawing painting pictures when you're 12 years old and going, you know what, I'm going to go take that scrapbook out and see what I did in fifth grade. It's like, it doesn't happen, right? And it's kind of like us. The only time I go listen to our music is when I'm rehearsing a song that we haven't played in a long time. I have to go back and brush up. But, you know, time period speaking, how the band was firing on all cylinders, you know, the Anthem record's always going to be a special album for me. You know, that and probably Hello Rock View, just because those are two really pivotal albums in our career. Anthem was strange because, you know, very few bands get signed by a major and then record a third album for a major, which was Borders and Boundaries, get dropped, take the record to Fat Records. Things are going through the roof. We had our biggest album in the UK anywhere. Borders and Boundaries was huge. We were on TV. Like, I was getting recognized walking down the street at that time. It was like bizarre. You know, and we had been a band for like 10 years and I had my anonymity in the US. We were a big band, but like I could go to Walmart. No one knew the hell I was. And now I'm in England walking past pubs. It like, are you Chris? It's like, yeah, fuck off, you know? So can I say that?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So, you know, we got picked back up after that. Warner Brothers signed us and we did the Anthem record. And it was an amazing time because we saw the writing on the wall. We've been doing this long enough. And we're like, unless this album goes like Foo Fighters, like into the stratosphere, Metallica, and sells a gazillion copies, we're never going to make any money or be able to pay the record company back for what they're going to put into this marketing wise. So we took everything we could. They gave us a budget and we doubled it. They wanted to give us 300 grand for Anthem. We took 600,000. We went to Malibu. We stayed in a 15,000 square foot mansion. We were throwing parties out there that like, it was, we were living it. Like we knew the writing was on the wall and the album sold respectably. It didn't go through the roof. It didn't make us superstars or whatever that is. But it was a magical time. We had a ball recording that record. We were like, let's live like rock stars one last time because this is going to be it. And it was. It really was.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Scott, you had a question.
I remember watching the YouTube videos when you guys were recording that thing. You were putting them out. So I was living vicariously on that one. Yeah. But, you know, going on the same path that Craig mentioned with the one album – and Craig and I, as he mentioned, have been to a lot of shows over the years. Is there any songs that you'd wish you would have on that you would play live more than just for some reason doesn't show up on a set list that kind of stand out that you just guys don't get to play live much?
Yeah, I think there's some of them, and some songs for just don't translate live for whatever reason, you know? And that's been a lot of artists over the years. Like a lot of my favorite bands have put out singles and like, they don't play it live. And you're like, ooh, that was your first single. And a lot of times it was a single the label picked or something. The band didn't like it. So there's interpersonal shit that goes along with that. But I get it now, being on this side. I get it from like some songs you record and you think, yeah, this is just a B-side. It isn't anything. And then the fans make that song a hit. The fans are like, no, that's the standout track. And you were wrong. You're like, that was just another song on the album to me. And other times you're like, this is the best song in the world. And then you record it, and it's kicking your ass, and you go play it live, and it's crickets. People are taking a piss break and going to get a beer during the song. And you're like, whoa, what, you know? Song for me that I think we talked about recently doing it with Matt, our new drummer. We're going to try to play it with him. We've never played it with him before. There's a song on our In With The Out Crowd album called Hopeless Case. That song to me is a bona fide a hit. I think that... you know, if a band like Foo Fighters or Green Day or one of the bigger rock bands of today were to track that song, it could be a massive hit. The song's great. So that'd be my pick.
Awesome.
It's one of my favorite songs you guys have ever put out. I listen to that far too often. So
oh,
I
agree
with you on that one.
Yeah.
So this might go along with the anthem story, because we did ask some of our listeners, what question they'd want to ask you. And one of them is in a band himself, and his name is also Scott. And he wanted us to ask, have you ever put anything ridiculous in a writer, kind of circa Van Halen with their brown M&Ms, just to see if people are actually reading it? Like, did you have anything in a writer that's like, let's just see if they're actually checking this out?
Yeah, but not so much to see if they're checking us out. We have put some ridiculous things. Like one time we needed a bong. So we put that in there, and like 4 or 5 shows go by and no bong. Finally, we get to St. Louis and we go in the dressing room. There's a bong.
Hey, that's the Midwest for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
hospitality here. That's all we know.
So we got our bong, and it was like, cool, you know? So there's been instances, funny shit like that, but no, we didn't need the brown M&Ms taken out like Van Halen.
All right. Fair enough. You guys have put out lots of remakes of previous songs, like the two versions of Look What Happened with the Teen Idols. But can you talk about any other songs that you'd like to have a second crack at?
I think there's only one tune, but I'd want to rewrite the chorus on it. I think that the intro and the verses are just phenomenal in this song, but the chorus just needs a rewrite. It just wasn't strong enough for the rest of it. I think that's why it fell flat. And I don't know if we'd ever re-record it though. I'll tell the song in a second, because I'm kind of against re-recordings. We have done it in the past, but those were like kind of like the next record. Like we did Johnny Quest and Jen on Pezcore, and really it was our label, a guy at Capitol, that was just like, you know, I'd really think you should re-record these songs, because he had seen us like a dozen times before he signed us. We were like, what are you talking about? Like these songs are already done. And he's like, no, you know, you sold whatever, 20,000 copies on an independent label. Like, you know, I see the reaction these songs get every night. You should play it. So not for the same reasons as that, why I'd want to re-record this one, which you probably never will, but it's a song that has never gotten a reaction. We've never played it live. It's a track called Bless the Cracks off our See the Light album in 2013. That song's badass, but it just suffered from a mediocre chorus. And there's other things that I would just want to kind of change placement-wise with some chords and feel-wise with the rhythm of it. So that'd be my pick.
Awesome. Scott, you had a question about the podcast.
So yeah, you already kind of alluded to it, Chris, and you've got a new podcast that you dropped here earlier this year. So you've talked to some big names in there, probably a lot of folks that you've hung out with as you've been touring. But what led you to wanting to put together a podcast, and how's it been going for you?
Yeah, it's going great. So a lot of big things on the horizon with it for next year. Got a lot of good stuff coming up. So I hired a manager back in March, April of this year. This is outside of the band. And he is a great friend of mine. I've known him for, probably 20 years now. His name is Chris Fafalios. Chris plays bass in a band called Punchline. They're from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. They used to be on Fueled by Ramen. That was kind of the connection with us. And Chris and I started talking, and one thing led to another, and kind of realized like 2 weeks into him, he does animation. So he was doing some animation. I write these custom songs and jingles for people. So he had done an animated video to promote my business. And one thing led to another. It was kind of like, it was obvious to me that I'm like, this guy's kind of managing me. We were talking every day. He was firing off ideas. And one of the ideas was, he says, you need to do a podcast. And I was like, eh, everyone does a podcast. And he's like, because people have told me before they think I'd be good at it. And so I had heard it before, but I just was kind of iffy about, you know, as you guys know, there's a lot of podcasts out there and a lot of podcasts that, you know, that aren't, in my opinion, that good. Because anybody could do it. Just do it from your bedroom. So I told Chris, I said, if we're going to do it, it has to, you know, it has to have a central theme to it. It has to be more than just me interviewing my friends and bands and people in the business, because I've done enough crappy interviews. The last thing I want to do is interview my peers and my colleagues. So he said, yeah, he's like, no. And he's like, it needs to have a theme. And he goes, the theme needs to be songwriting, because you're doing these custom songs and jingles. It'd be a great way to promote that. If nothing else, it'd be a great way to promote your business. And it's been everything he said, and then about 10,000 million things better than he ever, I never could have imagined. And the older I get, I know that I'm wrong a lot. I could admit that now and see that now. And I was wrong. I was completely underestimated the value of what this could do for me, not even on a business level or anything, because we haven't even, you know, went into try to monetizing the show really, or go for, you know, ads and all that kind of crap. Like, we're doing it as a labor of love right now, but spiritually for me, and doing something outside of the box, it's been amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's something about talking to those people, and also we're honored to be added to that list of crappy interviews that you've had to suffer through.
No, it's not. I don't mean interviews on my end. I mean, yeah, no.
I was just kidding with you.
No, but this is a great interview, and I'm careful when I say that because I'm usually saying that when I'm doing podcasts or interviews. Uh-huh. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's not directed at you.
No.
You know, most of
anything about us anyway.
Yeah, most of the, what does my opinion matter? That's the other thing. That's, you know, sometimes people get butthurt about shit. It's like, who the hell am I? I'm just a dude with an opinion. Fuck you. Just like you're a dude with opinion. But,
well, I'll tell you what, I have a question about your solo career here in just a second, but I got to mention, I was listening last night to the episode of Matt Pryor, and between you guys and Less Than Jake, and then he had a side project called the New Amsterdams. Yeah. And they have a perfect album. Their New Amsterdam self-titled album is just incredible. But you've been doing solo work for a long time now, and I know you have some gigs scheduled in the future when those can happen again. But what else do you have coming up and in your life and in your career here?
Well, so I just released a book called Last from the Past, and that came out on December 8th. You can go to KristaMakesABook.com. That's DEMAKES, KristaMakesABook.com. And you can see all the stuff that's associated with it. I released my first two songs with the book. The lead-off track is called Blast from the Past. Everything in the book is a story. It's a picture book that has pictures and stories. And there's a whole backstory with how the book happened. I won't go into that and bore everybody, but there's a bunch of stuff that I've released with it. I released a couple t-shirts. There's a 2021 calendar. There's a poster. There's an air freshener. There's a bookmark, the 7-inch song. So Blast from the Past. The other track that came out the other day is called All American Asshole. And so all the stories and the songs would be from the book. It's a year and a half long book campaign. So every 3 months, I'm going to release two more songs. And at the awesome. Very end of it, I'm going to take all the, and they're going to be all on 7-inches, and you get a download code with it. At the end of it, I'm going to compile everything, tack on two more songs to it, and make Blast from the Past the full length album. That'll be my solo album.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. So,
and it's cool because it kind of every 3 months, it kind of invigorates the book and kind of keeps it going. Because I didn't want to just like put out a book. It's kind of like putting out an album these days. Like, you know, there's this anticipation leading up to it. And the album comes out and you get like 2 weeks of a promo of it or a month. And like, okay, So
yeah, so this keeps it going. And plus, your last name just lends so nicely to all of your projects. DeMakes a book, DeMakes a podcast, you know, all of this stuff that you got going on.
Well, you know, I've kind of ran with it now, and I do this charity on my podcast, and it's ChrisDeMakesADifference.com. So it's, at this point, I told Chris, my manager, I'm like, we got to kind of lay off this. He's like, yeah, haha, I know. But it started because I used to get shit when I was a kid, like, Krista makes a pizza, Krista makes a pie. So when I was thinking of a name for the podcast, I was like, okay, the Krista Makes Hour, no, that sucks. The Krista Makes Podcast, no, that's lame, that's generic. The Krista Makes, oh, what am I going to call this? And my wife was like, Krista Makes a Podcast. And I look at her, I go, are you serious? She goes, yeah. I was like, fuck it.
She was right on. She was right on. Scott, you had a question.
Yeah, no, mainly Craig has been interviewing a lot of creators during this crazy time of 2020. And many of them are, you know, looking forward to what's next. I know you've already talked about how you guys do a lot of live shows and looking forward to that. But what in 2021, when we get out of the year of hell, what are some of the things you're looking forward to the most, both with Les and Jake, but also personally?
Yeah, just, you know, I without going into, again, boring details, I had a reset on my life about a year ago. We got done with the last record, and I just had come home, and I've said this in other interviews lately. It wasn't a midlife crisis. I'm not depressed, none of that. But I realized I'm middle age, and I'm on the back nine of my life, and I want to make every day count. And I don't say I'm on the back nine like some morbid thing. It's just being realistic. You know, I lived a crazy life up until I had my children, like three. My son's four today. He's four. And my daughter will be three in March. And kind of had a reset with my kids. And like a year ago, I had this thing of like, who am I outside of Chris from Less Than Jake? That's really the only job I've ever had. Who am I? Who's Chris DeMakes? And so I've really explored that. I started doing the custom songs and the jingles. I do one-on-one live video consultations. I'm going to take that out and do speaking engagements at colleges and stuff. I'm doing the solo stuff. I wrote a book. I'm already thinking about the next book. I'm doing the podcast. So all of those things in conjunction with the band, what I'm looking forward to is doing exactly what I've done the last year, and that's work every day. And not work every day and hate it. And like some people have said, you work every day. And I'm like, I've worked every day this year in some capacity. I've done something work related. You know, not much of a fan of this guy anymore. When he opens his mouth, I kind of cringe, but damn it. He said something a long time ago. And I was one of the biggest Kiss fans growing up, but Gene Simmons said, how do these people, they work all week and they take the weekend off for what? He goes, that's like, you know, 52 days a year or whatever. Whatever it ends up being with. So let's see, 48 days a year that you could be working or doing something towards work. And while I don't necessarily agree with the greediness factor of that statement, I take it to heart now, and I try to do something a little bit each day. And that doesn't mean I'm neglecting my children or neglecting having fun in life. I'm having a ball doing all that I'm doing. I'm enamored in projects, and I'm having fun with it. So that's what gets me up in the morning. I'm excited for the next thing. Talking to you guys, talking to people, just getting the word out there. Like, I am privileged to be able to have people in 2020 that still want to talk to me about my band, you know?
Absolutely. And I was, you know, this is my last question, and it's going to be a little bit different than maybe some of the questions we've asked before. But, you know, just I wanted to say thank you, because your work, your band, it inspires us to go out and do things, to create. And we would never have started a podcast network, and then we became affiliated with NPR. And that's all through the types of bands and creators and artists that we listen to. And we were able to bring that drive and continue to move forward. So you are a part of this, and we just thank you for that. And thank you so much for all the years and for all the music and the love that you show your fans, because it really does show. And like you said, you guys were at it before there was social media, and you really can tell that you value your fans and you cherish that. So my last question for you, we did start this whole network as primarily movies, and now we're kind of more all pop culture, but we always do want to ask guests that we have on, what is your favorite movie?
Of all time?
of all time. And now usually people give us like six answers, and that's okay.
I got one. I think this is the perfect movie, and I've even found mistakes in the movie that I've gone online to look and I've seen nobody else write. I've seen it so many times. Is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Steve Martin and John Candy. Yeah, just
perfect time of year for it.
That's the one, man. Like that movie just, I saw that in the theater when I was like 15 with my dad when it came out, and we pissed our pants watching that thing. Like we laughed our balls off. I mean that's my movie.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, my wife hadn't seen it until this year. We watched it the night before Thanksgiving and just, oh God, that movie is so perfect. So,
it's hard to watch now in the sense I watched it recently within the last year or so. And you're sitting there going, why can't you just get your cell phone out? It's pre cell phone. So like they're in the airport. You're like, wait, why can't you just do this? Like, you know,
also, living in the Midwest, they change drivers like six times between St. Louis and Chicago. That's only like a 4-hour, 5-hour drive. Like they don't really need to change so many times.
No. It should have been St. Louis to Denver. It's a little more believable.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. God, did you have something you wanted to show him before we let him go here?
Chris, you know, I turned Craig onto the band when he was still in diapers, and
he's not still in diapers.
I was going to leave it alone, but no, I mean, and now, you know, my daughter who's 10 listens to you guys. So I just want to say personally, and I know you hear this a lot, but thank you for all that you've put out and all you've done and all you continue to do, because whether I'm having the best day of my life, the worst day of my life, or somewhere in between, there's an LTJ song that I can listen to and get through it. So I really do appreciate all that you guys have done. And it's when Craig told me we were going to be interviewing you, I got very excited because I've loved you guys for almost the whole time you've been around. But Craig did mention you back at Warped Tour, back in 2003. So it was a while. I did buy this little guy here.
All right.
And you guys signed his ass. So I appreciate it.
Nice.
And the one thing was you said no eBay. And I just wanted to prove to you 17 years later, he did not go on eBay. So I listened to you, sir. There you go.
Well, that's good. You should have sold them on eBay then because you would have got more money than you would now. It's devalued. I keep screwing my fans. What the fuck, man?
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for your time today. We really appreciate it. Silver Linings is out now. Also, go check out Chris Demakes a podcast. Go check out the book, everything that you got going on. We love your work, and thank you for everything you're putting out there in the world.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
What an awesome, awesome, awesome interview. That was just so much fun. Oh my goodness. Like it was so great to get to talk to Chris and to just talk about, like, we got some insights into their process and into his favorites of their large catalog, a 28-year catalog. It's just so much fun. I'm glad that I got to experience this with you, Scott.
Thanks for having me. Like I said at the beginning, when you told me you nailed this interview, I was extremely excited. You said this was my Christmas gift, and that's fine by me, because as I mentioned to Chris, these guys have been there for me, whether they know it or not, for most of my later high school and adult life. So it was great to be able to have a chance to chat with him and to see what he's been doing when we've all been dealing with this 2020 experience.
Yeah, you know, it's cool because we've had a chance, whether that be like Disney people on Beyond the Mouse or you listen to flashbacks and you hear Captain Dale die. Like we talk to these creators, these different people that come to different aspects of arts, whether that be writing books or producing films or writing music. And what's cool about it is that even though we've all been in this horrific year of just like pausing our lives, essentially, they have all still created. They have all still endured. And that's so cool. Now, Silver Linings was actually recorded before the pandemic, but you can go out and listen to some of the things that they've been doing from home. You can follow them on all the social media. They're really active on Twitter. Like they're the best part of Twitter. You know, Twitter is generally a dumpster fire, but you can follow Less Than Jake and be happy about it. So I would strongly recommend going and checking it out. And I mentioned it in the interview, but of course, check out Silver Linings. But if you you have not heard Less Than Jake before, listen to the album Borders and Boundaries, and you will get my experience of listening to them for the first time. It starts with Magnetic North and just goes from there. It is such a good album. Do you have anything you'd recommend that people check out if they hadn't before, Scott?
No, Borders has my favorite song that they've ever put out, which is Look What Happened. And they have the better version of Look What Happened, in my humble opinion. But I think if you're looking for some of their newer stuff, Silver Linings is a good mix. I think it's got some old stuff in there and some newer stuff. But one of the ones that I think not many people really got into, but it was a really good album, is In With The Out Crowd. I would check that one out as well, too. That's more of their mainstream piece. So if you don't want to get into heavy horns right about the way, In With The Out Crowd would be a good way to start.
That's awesome. Any final thoughts on our interview today with Chris?
No, I'm just looking forward to interviewing Roger, JR, Buddy, and Matt as well.
Yeah, we'll try to make that happen. So thank you so much for listening. You can always find the Front Row Network if you search on NPR Illinois. You can find us under the Community Voices tab. You can also find us on all of our social media by searching for the Front Row Network. Of course, we love that you subscribe to us. If you're new to the podcast because you love Chris as much as we do, then definitely go back and check our back catalog. We have tons of interviews. We do film reviews. We do a little bit of everything nowadays here at the Front Row Network. And we really appreciate your support with that. Speaking of support, we also have a Patreon page. So if you go to patreon.com/thefrontrownetwork, you can find our Patreon there and you can check out how you can actually become involved with the show, pick out some of the movies we're going to review, even talk to the host and kind of get in on the action that is the Front Row Network. We really appreciate and we love your support. Thank you so much. And again, we can't say it enough. Thank you to Chris and thank you to everybody involved with Less Than Jake. Silver Linings is a great album. Go and check it out now for sure. So for the Front Row Network, I am Craig.
And I'm the hopeless case, Scott.
And we will see you real soon in the front row with some headphones, maybe in a mosh pit. I think I'm too old for mosh pits.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio Illinois. For more from the Front Row Network, including our articles or our other dozens of shows, visit thefrontrownetwork.com or nprillinois.org/programs/frontrownetwork. You can also find us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and on Twitter @FrontRowReviews with a Z.